I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon it is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness doth he judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire. Upon his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed in a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And upon his vesture and upon his thigh he had a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for a husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he shall dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I shall be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, for the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither the light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and forever. He that testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and also they which pierced him. And all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Behold, he cometh, shouted far and wide. Behold, he cometh, all evil to subside. Behold, he cometh. Look up, Christian, look up. Behold, he cometh with fury in his cup. Behold, he cometh, let his people rejoice. Behold, he cometh with triumphant voice. Behold, he cometh, watch Babylon fall. Behold, he cometh, crowned Lord of all. Behold, he cometh with wind and fire and flood. Behold, he cometh, and I'm washed in his blood. I feel better about the whole thing. I wish somebody, let me make an assignment for one of you missionary students. Joshua, go through the book of the Revelation this week and pick out every time and write the reference where the words I saw, I saw, I saw, I saw. That'd be a great assignment. I think of about probably 50 of them. I've never counted them, but go through and bring it next Sunday. Will you do that? Thank you. Well, didn't they do a great job? God bless these young people. As I sat there, my mind went back, well, about 100 years ago when I was was that age. And Brother Bill, you'll appreciate this. Your grandfather, Brother Ralph McCoy, almost called me to Mexico to be a missionary. If God had been in it, I'd have been there. But he wanted to see it, and God wasn't in it, and I'm glad that he left me here for a while. By the way, Bill, the next time you go to New York, if you'll promise me you will not go near the Queen's Hospital in New York, I may go with you on the mission trip.
I would only go if you were there.
Excuse me?
I would only go to the hospital if you were there.
He didn't understand me, did he? I'm so proud of these young people. They're great. The other mission trips, and by the way, I think Tuesday, they're 26. Is that right, Tony? 26 are going to Africa. Isn't that a wonderful thing? And a group just returned from Mexico, and one of these days we'll all go to heaven. We just sang about it. Won't that be a wonderful time? Hasn't our music been wonderful today? Isn't it wonderful every Sunday and every week? Thank God for music that sets the stage for the preaching of God's word. None of this, as James Wright Norris used to say, none of this Johnny get a cat gun bigger than a rat gun, sis, ba boom. But music that glorifies Christ. Thank God for our musical program and for all of these great programs of our church. Oh, we have a wonderful church. And we have a wonderful pastor and a wonderful staff, wonderful people. And I'm so glad you're here tonight. Well, I've used enough runway. You know that by now. Open your Bible as we get airborne. By the way, did I tell you when we open the Bible opens the mind of God. Let's see what God's thinking about tonight in the Gospel according to John, chapter number 14. As you're finding your place, I should remind you about the Gospel according to John. It is the Gospel of the Son of God. That's the portrait. Remember, he was just as much God as though he had never become man, just as much man as though he had never been God. It's the theological gospel. It tells us more about theology and the Father-Son relationship than the synoptics, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. What a wonderful book. If you want to really get into the Bible, get into the Gospel according to John. I'm going to read from the 14th chapter, just one verse. And that will be verse number 27. And I shall read it after we pray together. Our Father, we thank thee tonight for what we've experienced with the wonderful challenge and the wonderful and glowing reports of these young people that gave a time out of their lives to go and win people to Christ and establish something there in the great city of New York that will last forever. These precious little ones that were baptized tonight, I'm reminded again of what Jesus said, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Heavenly Father, would you have the recording angel write in the books of heaven tonight on our behalf that we love thee, that we honor thee, adore thee, worship thee, praise thee, that we ascribe to Jesus Christ all power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing, because he alone is worthy and he alone is deserving. May thy word find its place in our hearts tonight. Should there be those without the Savior, may they come to know him. For those that are struggling with some problems in their lives, maybe they are looking for a greater peace than they have in their hearts, may they find it tonight. And may Christ be glorified and honored in it all. In his name I pray with thanksgiving. Amen. John chapter 14 and verse number 27. Jesus said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I read the story about a young man who made a list of the things that he would like to have in life. It goes as follows: health, love, good looks, talent, power, riches, and fame. He showed this list to a wise man who was much older than he was. After reading the list, the wise old man said, "It's an excellent list, young man, but it appears you left out the most important element of all." "And what's that?" the young man asked. The old man didn't say a word. He took out his pencil and crossed out the entire list and wrote three words: "Peace of mind." What did Jesus say? Look at it again. "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, neither let it be afraid." Let not your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid. You know, my friend, tonight I am drawn to this verse like a thirsty man to water, like a moth to a flame, like a child to his mother. It is so comforting. It is so refreshing. It is so assuring. Listen again to it. "Peace I leave with thee. My peace I give unto thee. Not as the world giveth, give I unto thee. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." That's just what I need. The peace that only Jesus can give. That's what you need, my friend. And hear me when I say it, Paul gives us a written guarantee that we can have it. It's written in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and thanksgiving." In everything by prayer with thanksgiving, "let your requests be made known unto God," and watch it, "and the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." I remember growing up in my dad's church, and the old timers would give their testimony, and one man in particular said the same thing every time. I'll never forget it. He would stand up and say, "6 inches below my collarbone, I have a peace that the world didn't give me and the world cannot take away." Thank God nothing can take away the peace of God, the salvation of God, your soul's salvation. It's eternal. It's forever. It's infinite. It's as long as God is. Your soul, your life, your salvation will live as long as God. I've entitled the message, "Peace of Mind and How to Have It." In this world of heartaches, troubles, trials, tribulations, difficulties, heartaches, strife, depression and despondency and despair, people everywhere are asking, "Where can I find peace of mind?" Sadly enough, the thousands of people who take their own lives each year never find it. The multitudes of people who turn to drugs and alcohol every day never find it. I need to tell you that that peace of mind is not something that you get out of a bottle or a capsule or a needle or a pill. Peace of mind is not something you search for or strive for or work for or pay for. Peace of mind is something you accept as a gift from the Prince of Peace, who said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be afraid, neither let it be, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." All you need to do, my friend, listen to, what do you do with a gift? Somebody comes up and says, "Here's a $100 bill. This is your gift." What do you do with it? You accept it. All you have to do to get God's peace is to accept it. But unless you feel the need of God, let me tell you, you will never experience the peace of God. In order to accept His peace, now, there are three other things that you must accept from Him. Number one, you must accept His pardon. Number two, you must accept His presence. And number three, you must accept His purpose. Number one, you must accept His pardon. Isaiah wrote in his 55th chapter, verse 6 and 7, Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. Now watch this. And he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, watch it, for he will abundantly pardon. That word abundantly means to fill to the overflow. Don't you like that? Fill to the overflow. When a governor pardons a prisoner, his record is wiped clean. So he's never been a prisoner. He's never committed a crime. He's pardoned. You know, when God pardons us, it's just as though we've never committed a sin. When he says he justifies us, he means we just as if we had never been sinners. What a wonderful thing. Romans 5:1. Therefore, having peace with God by faith in Jesus Christ. All of us, listen, all of us have sins that haunt us, but God. All of us feel that we should be punished for our sins, but God. But God, Ephesians 2:4-5, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. You know what that means? That word quickened means made alive. That means that we are made alive with Christ and we are enjoying the same life that Jesus is enjoying. I think that's what Paul meant in Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, not self, not ego, not the old man, not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of God, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Sin hangs like an albatross about your neck. That's a heavy burden. You're asking, what can I do with my sins? Well, I'm glad you asked. You got questions, we got answers. Right out of God's encyclopedia of truth. Number one, you must acknowledge them. I read that in Psalm 51:3, where the psalmist said, I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. You must confess them. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You must forsake them. Proverbs 28:13, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth them shall have mercy. Oh, I love this next one. You must transfer them to Christ, who is your sin bearer. Isaiah wrote it in his 53rd chapter at verse 4. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He's our sin bearer. And you know, I want to tell you something. To me, that means that your sins and my sins have become his sins. Is that not what Peter said in 1 Peter 2:24? Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness. Did not Paul mean that in 2 Corinthians 5:21, where he wrote, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. My friend, let me tell you, you cannot handle your sin. You cannot tame your sin. You cannot bind your sin. You cannot hide your sin. You must turn it over to God, who alone can pardon you. Another question that you're asking, and I'm glad you asked questions. You got questions, we got answers. What will God do with my sins? Can I tell you, the first place, he will cast them behind his back. and he's got a big back. Isaiah 38 and verse 17 says, "Thou hast cast all their sins behind thy back. He will blot them out, and he has a bountiful blotter." Isaiah 44 and verse 22, "I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. He will forget them." Did you get that? Amen. He will forget them. Could I be just as reverent as I know how to be? When we confess, acknowledge, and transfer our sins to him, you know what? God has a case of divine amnesia. He forgets our sins. Wow. He will wash them as white as snow. Isaiah 1:18, "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. He will remove them far from you." Did I hear someone ask, but how far? Let the psalmist answer that from Psalm 103 at verse 12. "As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us." Is there anybody, you smart young people? Well, you look smart. I don't know how smart you are, but you look smart. Could you tell me how far it is from the east to the west? The poet said, "East is east and west is west, and never the twain shall meet." And I'm happy to report to you that God's removed my sins so far from me, I will never meet them again. Gone, 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 yes, my sins are gone. Buried beneath the deepest sea, yes, that's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are G-O-N-E, gone. He will cast them into the depths of the sea. And you know, in the Mediterranean world, the Mediterranean Sea was the deepest thing that the writers of the scripture knew anything about. So he's going to put them in the deepest place he can find, in the depths of the sea. Micah 7:19, "Thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea." And guess what? God puts up a no fishing sign. Aren't you glad about that? A wise man once said, I don't remember who it was, it may have been me, "The sea is the cemetery for all of our sins, and God is the undertaker." Number two now. Not only must you accept God's pardon, but you must accept God's presence. At the beginning of World War II, the authorities in England evacuated all the children who were living in fear in the areas where the bombers were bombing night after night after night. By the way, the city of London, you know, was bombed 57 consecutive nights. Mr. Churchill spent those nights in his bunker far below the ground. By the way, if you ever visit the city of London, you must visit the Churchill Museum. My wife and I went down into the bunker. I was amazed. I looked over there, and there was his cot where he slept. There was his desk, his typewriter, his telephone, his hat, and yes, a half-burned-up cigar in the ashtray. I couldn't get to it. I don't know what I'd have done with it if I had. But I'm saying all that to say this. They put these children not in the bunker, but they put them in buildings far away from London as they could get them, in safe places. But wait, they were away from their parents, and the authorities soon discovered they had made a great mistake. The children became emotionally upset, restless, irritable. Well, yes, they were safe and they had all the things that they needed in life, all the necessary provisions, but being deprived of the love and companionship of their parents did them great harm. So it is, ladies and gentlemen. We may live in the finest houses. We may eat the best food. We may enjoy all the things that money can buy. But without the fellowship of the presence of our Heavenly Father, we become restless. We are robbed of that inner peace that only God can give us. Isaiah 26 and verse 3, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee." We must at all times practice his presence. Isaiah 30 and verse 15 says, in quietness and confidence shall be your strength. As you practice his presence, his peace will fill your soul every waking moment of your life, and also at night as well. For the psalmist said in Psalm 63 at verse 6, I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. It's good in the daytime, it's good in the nighttime. And by the way, when at night you cannot sleep, talk to the shepherd. Quit counting sheep. But I tell you, if you go to sleep talking to the shepherd, you'll be in good company all night long. Remember the words of Jesus in my text, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. The third thing you must accept to have the peace of God is God's purpose. Enter with me into the Garden of Gethsemane. See the Savior on his knees. Hear him as he prays alone in agony beneath the olive trees. Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, underscore that word, capitalize that word, centralize that word. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Then and there, ladies and gentlemen, Christ accepted God's purpose for his life. He discovered God's will and he did it. Paul quotes Jesus. You know, Paul loved to quote Jesus too, you know. I'm in good company. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 9, Jesus is quoted as saying, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. And in John 12:27, he said, for this cause came I into the world. Jesus Christ went to the cross, listen, and he died for your sins. You too must accept his will and his purpose for your life. Can I put it this way? You must enter your Garden of Gethsemane and pray from a sincere heart, not my will, but thine be done. The poet wrote, I wanted to go. He said, stay. I wanted to do. He said, pray. I wanted to work. He said, wait. I wanted to live for his sake. Love me, my dear child, he softly said. Oh, yes, Lord. I bowed my head. I want your way. I am your son, not my will, but thine be done. In the providence of God, things come into your life that you do not understand. You wonder why. Can I remind you, when you know who, you really don't have to ask why? The sudden death of a loved one, a crippling disease, a broken heart, a tragic accident, a loss of health, a loss of wealth, a loss of job, and a thousand other things that are imponderables, unexplainable things. But you must remember this. All these things are in God's purpose for your life. With God, there are no accidents and no incidents. He's the master. This is his business. The master's in control. Job 23 and verse 10, he knoweth the way I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as pure brass. No, that's not what it says. As pure tin. No, that's not what it says. As pure iron. That's not what it says. As pure silver. That's not what it says. As pure gold. Romans 8, verses 28 and 29, you know 28, and you ought to know 29 as well. And we know. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to his image, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. I believe it was Joshua who said, everything that happens, he's working it out to make you more like Christ. And I promise you something tonight, you can believe it. God will not allow anything to come into your life but what is designed to make you more like Jesus Christ. He maketh no mistake. My Father's way may twist and turn. My heart may throb and ache. But in my soul, I'm glad I know He maketh no mistake. My cherished plans may go astray. My dreams may fade away. But still I'll trust my Lord to know, to lead, for He doth know the way. Though night be dark and it may seem that day will never break, I'll pin my faith, my all in Him. He maketh no mistake. There's so much now I cannot see. My eyesight's far too dim. But come what may, I'll simply trust and leave it all with Him. For by and by the mist will lift, and plain it all He'll make. Through all the way, though dark to me, He made not one mistake. Would you stand with me, please? Our heads are bowed, the altar's open. I wish I knew how to give an invitation. But I'm just going to say to you tonight, if God's spoken to your heart, if there's a need in your life, maybe you've allowed some of the things of the world or some things of business or home or family or job or children or parents or anybody else or anything else to just kind of rob the peace. You're saved and you know it and you can't lose it. But you can lose the peace and the joy and the happiness. Maybe that's your situation tonight. If it is, I wish you'd just find a place at the altar. Ask God to give you the peace that passes all understanding. If you're here tonight without Christ, come, and there'll be someone here to take the Bible and show you how to be saved, how you know that you can go to heaven when you die. I'm going to pray. We're going to sing as the Holy Spirit speaks. Father, I thank You for these that have come, crowding the altars all around us tonight, young and old, mothers and daddies, husbands and wives, grandbabies, grandchildren, on their faces before You. Dear God, would You bring peace to all of our hearts tonight? May we know what it means to have Jesus say to us, "Peace I give unto You, not as the world giveth, give I unto You. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." As we sing, who will join these that have come tonight? Maybe you need to join the church. Make a dedication, make a commitment, trust the Savior. Have somebody to come and pray with you. Whatever it might be, as we sing.